Okay, Chevra, so far this entire Zman, we've been learning one word, and that word is Hargasha. Okay? Basically, in order to become a Nida Min HaTorah, Shmuel tells us on the Zayin Amid Beis that you require Hargasha. And the Gemara on the Zayin Amid Beis also mentions that there are certain things that resemble Hargasha. There could be Hargasha, Stoma Hargashas Me Reglayim, Dilma Hargashas Aid, Dilma Hargashas Shamish. What we pointed out last time is that with respect to Hargasha, the Noda B'Yehuda famously argues that the Hargasha of Zivas Devar Lach is considered a Hargasha, and he tried to prove this from a Gemara on Yud Zayin, right? The Mishnah / Gemara in Yud Zayin tells me that when there is dam in the prosdar, right, and there's dam in the vagina, so we assume that she is going to be Temeya. Why? Because there's a chazaka that dam came Bahargasha, or a chazaka that the dam came Min Hamokar. That's why it says it. Correct the Noda Yehuda, I wear is the Hargasha. So Noda Yehuda proves from here that you see that Zivas Devar Lach is Hargasha. The Noda Yehuda was rejected, or the proof was rejected in two ways. Right? We had the Chavis Das's Dechiya, that there is a difference between the din of Nida L'Baila and the din of Nida L'Taharos. Right? That's one rejection. And maybe the Gemara on Yud Zayin Amud Beis is only talking about Taharos. And maybe for Taharos you don't need Hargasha at all. We also said over from the Kresio Placi that maybe the rejection is that the case on Yud Zayin Amud Beis is that the Isha saw Dam al Yedei Abedika. The Dam is Nimsa, but Prozdar probably means that you have a doctor, or, well, it probably doesn't mean that you have a doctor who looks at her with a speculum. That's like a modern thing. It probably means that she does a Bedika and she sees Dam but Prozdar, and that's why she's Temeya. And we pointed out that obviously the Placi is assuming, the Rebbe Reb Yonason is assuming that Dam on a Bedika cloth is Temeya min HaTorah b'Toras Vaday. There's a Chazaka that I came min HaMokar, and it's Temeya b'Toras Vaday, and that is two possible ways of reading a Gemara. Because the Gemara says that she had a Hargasha, and maybe it's Hargasha's aid. Well, how do you read that? Can you read the Gemara that she says, no, I didn't have any Hargasha, and we're assuming we know for sure that you have Hargasha's aid? I think we called this mansplaining last time. Alternatively, you could say that no, that maybe she actually had a Hargasha, and we're saying maybe it's Hargasha's aid, lahakel, not lahachmir. Right? There are two possible ways of understanding Dilma Hargasha's aid. But Hayotze, what emerges from the Placi is that a bedika that is done makes the woman Temeya min HaToira b'Toiras Vaday. So far, so good? This is all Chazara. Well, I'll repeat. I just want to make one brief ha'ara that's found in the Sefer Mishmeres HaTahara by Rabbi Karp. The Mishmeres HaTahara points out that if you look in the Piskei Tshuva in Sivkatan Aleph, he puts the Placi together with the Sidrei Tahara and the Chavis Das, that a bedika is a din d'oraisa. And the way he says it is, if it's kinuach, o shelo hechnisa ha'ed ba'omek elamei haprozdar v'lachut, eino elamid rabbanon. The way the Piskei Tshuva puts it together, he says the Placi is the same as the Sidrei Tahara and the same as the Chavis Das. And that means that in order to be Min HaTaira, it has to be a deep bedika. No? It has to be a deep bedika. The woman, usually we tell women when they do bedikos that they should put like one foot up on the toilet and insert the cloth and go in. We'll see the expression in Shulchan Aruch later on that you should try to go ad makim shashamish dash. You should try to go as deep as the penis reaches during climax. the pashtus in the Pisrei Tshuva is that in order to be a bedika min ha-Torah, it has to be ba'omek. It has to be that you stick it in deeply. The Mishmeres HaTahara points out that that is certainly what the Sidrei Tahara says. However, the Plasi is only saying that if you do a kinuach, if you do an external wipe, that is Dirabbanan. But the impression you get from the Plasi is that as long as you insert the cloth any amount, that is going to be a din d'oraisa. So the Mishmeres HaTahara notes that although the Pisrei Tshuva puts the Plasi and the Sidrei Tahara together, he's really conflating Kasha Mitbarsht. He's comparing things which are not the same at all. According to the Plasi, any internal Bedika is D'oraisa. Whereas according to the Sidrei Tahara, in order to be D'oraisa, it has to be Ba'omek. Reb Moshe Feinstein in that tshuva, right, that I gave you, discusses a case of a woman who, after showering, like towels herself off. Right, this is a big chiddush. After you shower, you actually wipe yourself dry. And Reb Moshe says, well, maybe in the process of wiping herself dry, perhaps the towel went inside. No, is that what Reb Moshe says? And maybe it's a bedikah min ha-Torah. Now the cha'ora. I have this thing with my shoulder that it comes out sometimes. L'cha'ora, if you hold that you need a bedika ba'omek, it's not possible that just by toweling yourself off, you're going to end up with a bedika ba'omek, no? It's not really shayach. L'cha'ora, what Reb Moshe is assuming is something similar to the Plasi, that any internal bedika is a chashash of d'oraisa, which is not what the Pisrei Tshuva is paskening lahalacha. Most poskim lahalacha assume that if you end up going in a tiny bit, again, without being too graphic about female anatomy, but female anatomy has what we call the labia, which are like lips at the outside, no? There's labia majora, labia minora. Inside of the labia, you have what's called the vulva, or colloquially, we call that the vagina, no? When you do bedikas, if you do the labia, it's garnished with garnished. The labia is halachically completely insignificant. How far do you have to go inside of the vulva to be considered a potential da'iraisa is not a simple question. The pashtus, though, is that all poskim are rejecting this placey, that any internal bedika is potentially da'iraisa, and therefore that Rev Moshe, I think, is just a collector's item. It's a chiddush. I don't think it is mainstream normative Orthodox Judaism. So far, so good? Let's go weiter. We have been discussing a single word. Hi, Yoni, how are you?
So what exactly is the
nafkamina?
Go a little bit further.
So I'll tell you the nafkamina. The nafkamina is when the nafkamina comes up almost very often when a woman uses the restroom. She's going to wipe herself. And when we use the restroom, we wipe ourselves. When you wipe yourself often, if you want to be sure that you wipe yourself well, you will go internal a teeny bit, no? It's not just going to be an external wiping. You will go inside a teeny bit. If you see dam on a tissue that you wipe yourself with, if you're chushesh, that anything internal is the oraisa, like the placing, and like remosha, so then we lose all the kulas, right? So that's already big time stuff Again, I hope we will discuss these shailas in greater detail later on, but what the Mishmeres HaTahara is saying is that the Pesachei Tshuva is like conflating the shitas. The Pashtus is lahalacha, it has to be ba'oimek in order to be d'oraisa.
I mean, why should it make a difference, just mitzias, how far are you going?
Why should it make a difference how far it goes in? So I thought the longest of this is azoi, that we're worried that you're going to mistake a bedika with the full-fledged hargasha. The full-fledged hargasha, l'cha'ora, takes place at that point, like the Chavos Das mentioned, at the point when the dam leaves the uterus into the vagina. That's further in. Right? Again, we're dealing with millimeters, but it's further in. So that's the makom of hargasha. Anything further out, l'cha'ora, is not the makom of hargasha. In order to assume, like the placey, that further out is the makam of hargasha, you have to assume that azivas davar lach is certainly a hargasha, even in the more external form of azivas davar lach, right? Which was probably a machlokas between the night and the Chavos Das, etc. But that's probably part of this conversation, Mr. Press.
Yeah, so do we assume then that typical bedika is not that deep? Just the way that Rav Moshe characterized at the end is that if you wipe a chose, the bovek tzat, the bovek tzat, fine, he says it's game bedika seid. So the question has to be how literal that bedika seid is. But is there an assumption that sometimes some bedikas are deeper than others? Or is it
I assume that's correct. Again, I have to admit, there have been women who called me and they said, Rabbi, I did a bedika, I'm not sure if it was deep enough. So the first time I got in the shayla, I asked Rabbi Willey, and he's like, eh. In other words, what do you mean you're not sure it's deep enough? Like, let's, again, without being too graphic, but when the woman is doing bedikos before the marriage, no? So there's besulam over there, there's a hymen. It's not shayach to go as deeply as you're going to be able to go later on, no? Once you remove the besulam, you can go deeper. Once you have children, you could go even deeper. Right? That's just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created humans.
Okay, so it's just reasonable for Rav Moshe that there could be a shallow enough bedika that it could be matched by this whenever you're wiping yourself.
Correct. I think that's what Rav Moshe is saying. I'm assuming that when you shower and you towel off after showering, that might be even shallower than bedika wiping yourself after using the bathroom, no?
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming, and Rav Moshe is even choshish for that. Now, we've been trying to understand a single word all semester, and that word, Osman, which has been Jewish, right? And that word is Hargasha. What exactly is Hargasha? So, we have a number of possibilities in the Pesachei Tshuva, three possibilities, whether it's Hargasha, Nizdaz HaGuf of Eivareha, whether it is the Hargasha of Psichas Pi HaMakor, whether it's the Hargasha of Zivas Davar Lach. We have a fourth possibility in the Maharam Shek, that the Hargasha the Rambam is referring to is not Nizdaz HaGuf of Eivareha, rather it is like PMS, right? That's the Maharam Shek's deal. The problem is, Bizman Hazeh, we don't necessarily have nidam in Hatayra. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Rabbi, maybe you think that's a problem, but we think this is awesome. If you don't have nidam in Hatayra, right, that could be like the greatest kula in all of Judaism. Well, it's just not so reasonable to assume that we don't have nidam in Hatayra. So let's go through the Hargashos. If the Hargasha is Nizdaz Agufa Ve'ivarecha, so we mentioned, you ask women, they don't feel it. If the Hargasha is the Maharam Shik's version of the Rambam, of Hargasha before the Re'iyah, well, that is rejected by the overwhelming majority of Poskim. If it's the Hargasha of Psichas Pi HaMakor, women don't feel that either. If it is the Hargasha of Zivas Davar Lach, so that's very debatable. The Pesachei Tshuva already points out that although the Nodav Yehuda holds that way, the Chasam Sofer rejects it, and right, the Aruch Lanerim rejects it. So it's not so poshut that we are Tameya min HaTorah with the Dinim of Nida Bizman Hazeh. And this is a question. Now, this question is not like a modern question. The Shev Yaakov already, in those tshuvas that everyone is quoting, he says that they asked the old grandmothers, and they said that they didn't really feel any hargasha. So this is like a very old problem. How do we have nida min hatayra? Now, the reason why it's a problem is because what we're going to be speaking about moving forward, after Kuf Pei Gimel, we're doing Kuf Tzadi next. In Kuf Tzadi, we're talking about the halachas of ksamim. Ksamim are stains. If you see a stain, so then we have lots of kulas, because the dinim of ksamim are derabbanan. It's done without hargash. It's derabbanan. And if it's derabbanan, so I could be makeoff. I find it on colored substances. I could be makeoff. It's less than the size of a U.S. penny, let's say. Pachos mikagris va'od. So I have lots and lots and lots of kulas. If I have so many kulas on ksamim, so nish'elat hasha'elah in one of two directions. Maybe we should be machmir on ksamim bizman hazeh, because maybe there's a hargasha, right? Alternatively, maybe we should even be makol on the woman with a period, right? You could go in one of two directions, and this is the issue that we have to discuss, yeah, hi.
I understand the impulse among the both people want to find some way that there's needed a racism on us. I guess I just wonder, maybe this isn't an exact analogy, if there are Rishonim who have very high requirements, as if for certain bits of sort of the Gemara, and we just aren't able to meet those requirements at a certain period in history, to what extent is that okay? Like, that's what...
So, again, I think we certainly have certain mitzvahs that have very high requirements, and we can't meet those requirements anymore. But it's much harder to say that about a mitzvah that is a daily mitzvah. For example, the shitos in Rishonim that we can't wear tefillin because there are pigs hanging around European communities, and Ir Sheyesh B'Chazirim is like a dirty place, and it's usher to bring tefillin into Makom Betunav, those days were completely rejected. The Smag famously went through Europe, and he gave long drushes explaining to Orthodox Jews that how can you call yourself Orthodox if you don't wear tefillin? Like, to the men, right? How can you call yourself Orthodox if you don't wear tefillin? Like, what's going on here? Right?
What?
We are not talking about that now. Right? No way. But the reality is that we have a question: how can you have nida min hatayra? So to answer this question, I think we can go in a few different directions. Hi, Moshe Kurtz, how are you?
Are we understanding this as Tavon changing? Do we assume that the rabbis, if they asked their wives or other women beforehand when they found out the secrets of the court, is that...
So I'll say it like this. Nishtana hatevaim is a very hard concept. Look at Reb Neri Yagutal's sefer called Hishtanut Hatevaim Bahalacha. The Balei HaTosfos, famously Tosfos in Mayit Katan, tells us that there is Nishtan Tosfos Avodah Zarah, says there's Nishtanu Hatevaim. In terms of what are some of the cases in Nishtana Hatevaim, the case of Nishtana Hatevaim, Tosfos speaks about, the Gemara says that a fish, after 3 days have passed since it's been taken out of the water, is the healthiest type of fish. And the Balei HaTosfos point out that if you're going to eat, they live before refrigeration. If you eat a fish that's been out of the water for 3 days, not only is the fish dead, but you will also be dead after eating that fish. Right? So that's like a real problem. The Gemara discusses that like certain types of animals have like an extra lobe on the lung, and our animals don't have this anymore. There are cases in Nishtana Tvaim. The Balei HaTosfos are hesitant to use Nishtana Tvaim. The Rambam never uses Nishtana Tvaim. Never. To say Nishtana HaTvaim is certainly possible in this sugya, but I think we're trying to resist saying that as much as we can. And even if it's Nishtana HaTvaim, so then we have a further shayla. And then what? What's the halacha? Should we be more machmir or should we be more makel because of that? And we're dealing with something that happens all the time, so it's really not a simple question. It's not a simple question at all. Now, among the poskim, many poskim say that although in normal psika, in normal approach, I hate that word, but whatever. Although in normal approach to Paskin and Shailas, we would assume that Mezivas Tavarlach is not a Hargasha. but Bal Karcha will have to say it is Hargasha because we ain't got nothing else. And in the Mishmeres HaTahara of Rav Karp, he quotes Rabbi Yoshev as saying that we have to be machmir on Zivas Davar Lach. Rabbi Yoshev also said the same idea that maybe a woman who always has PMS, we should be machmir, not that the PMS is like a Vesas HaGuf, but that we should treat it like a Hargasha for her, because if we don't say that, how are we going to have Hargasha? And Rav Moshe Feinstein and his troop is in the back of the Rabbi Eider book, which is found in Chelot Davar of Yeredei and Al-Samin Yud Zayin. Rav Moshe writes something similar, that although the Pashtus in Halachic Svara should be that even if you hold a Zivas Davar Lach, it's only when you feel it going from the Makar, going from the uterus into the vagina, but we don't got anything better today, so we'll be machmir for Zivas Davar Lach when it's in the vagina, right? So that's one approach among poskim. Now, this approach is a little hard to swallow because, like, you know, that's basically a way of saying, pardon, that halacha has changed. No? Normal approach to halacha, if I'd be passing a shayla in the 16th century, 17th century, I couldn't pass a shayla in the 16th century, as even Sever Lach, Lady Yehuda wasn't born yet, but if I'm passing a shayla in the 18th century, I would say, oh, Lady Yehuda, we don't follow him. But because it's the 20th century, no one feels anything, so now I'm going to suddenly go back to Night of Yehuda, it's a little unsatisfying. Hi, Jeremy.
Well,
Yashud
says that we should be
Mahmir. Well, Yashud, as quoted in the Mishmeres HaTahara, says to be Mahmir, the woman with PMS is the Ilu, she has a Hargasha. That's correct.
That,
you gotta give me time. You gotta give me time. The answer is we generally don't follow that. In our yeshiva, right, we don't follow that. But again, it's Rebbe Yoshev. You know, we have to take it very seriously. But Lamaisa, we generally don't follow that. Another approach is what the Aruch HaShulchan has in many different paragraphs, where the Aruch HaShulchan basically says that we don't trust the women. The women say they don't have Hargasha. They really do have Hargasha, they just don't notice. The way Rabbi Willink says it in his inimitable style is that there used to be a time when women, you know, didn't really work. And Bizman HaZeh, women are very busy. So today, women don't have their Hargashas. But in those days when women didn't work, they were just sitting around all day waiting for their periods. So that's like an exciting thing that happens. So then you have a Hargasha. That's the way he says it. Lamaisa, it's hard to accept this approach also, especially because I think if we're honest, historically, women probably worked much harder then than they do now. No? I mean, when you realize what life was like without running water, and you have to run down to the well and schlep the water, and what doing laundry without a washing machine was like, and what, yeah, like, Rebbeinu de Kuliyama, it's much harder. Life was much harder. If you read the autobiography of Harry Truman, when he talks about what life was like in his town in Michigan, wherever, when he was born, right? Life was, like, very difficult. And you understand, by the way, why there was a need for slavery to maintain a household. A lot of things that, people say, hey, slavery is so cruel. It is cruel. It's a bad thing. But Lamaisa, you needed additional household help to just keep things going. No? It's not, like, we have to think about issues based on what it was like then. So, the svara that we don't trust the women, when they say they don't have a hargasha, is a difficult svara. Rebbe Yoshev in a tshuva, in the Kovetz Tshuvos. Did any of you guys look at that? I think I put it on the mark on the Makor somewhere. In the Kovetz Tshuvos, Rebbe Yoshev in Chelak Aleph Siman Pei Daled, Rebbe Yoshev quotes this Aruch HaShulchan, and he writes, "B'chuzku alai d'vrehen." But when they say that they really have no hargasha, zot Rebbe Yoshev. It means something to me. Like it's a strong statement. He trusts it. It's not a pushut thing to assume that they do not have that they don't have Hargasha. Not pushut at all. Now, One could argue that maybe Hargusha is not necessary for the simple reason that Yesh Lachkar, is Hargusha a Siba or a Simen? Does Hargusha create the Tumah? Or is Hargusha a Simen that the Dam which I'm seeing is Dam Min HaMakar? And it's not abundantly clear if Hargusha is a Siba or a Simen. One could argue reasonably that Hargusha is a Simen, and therefore, if you see Dam, and you know it's Dam Min HaMakar, you are going to be Tameya no matter what. This is called in the Lashon HaPoskim, Re'iya below Hargusha. Re'iya below Hargusha is a huge discussion in the Tshuva Sfarim. And we could see this discussion, by the way, on the page of Shulchan Aruch. The Shach in Sifkatan Beis, going on, the Shulchan Aruch says you need Hargusha. So the Shach says, Min HaTayra, you need Hargusha. Midrabanan, you're Temeya without Hargusha. Midrabanan, you're Temeya without Hargusha. The Gilyan Maharsha understands within the Shach that even if it's Pachos Mikigris, since you know that it's Yotza Migufa, you're going to be Temeya. Meaning that Dam, if you know it left the uterus, you're Temeya, even a tiny amount. Right? Now, the Shach, as understood by the Gilyan Maharsha B'Shem, the Rebbe Reb Yonson Eibshitz, the Shach is saying that Re'iya B'Loi Hargusha is going to be Tmei'a Midrabanan. No? Even Pachis Mikigris. The Torah's Hashlamim understands the Shach that Re'iya B'Loi Hargusha is Tmei'a Midrabanan only with a gris. Meaning, the Torah's Hashlamim is basically saying that when we talk about Dam that you know came from the Makar without a Hargusha, that for sure is going to be Midrabanan, and it has all the rules of Ksamim even. You need the size of a Gris V'ay, the size of a U.S. penny. Right? The Shach is saying it's a Din Drabanan that's treated more strictly, more severely than ordinary Ksamim, where the Shach is understood by the Rebbe Reb Yonason is saying that it's treated more severely than regular Ksamim. The Shear is smaller. The Torah's Hashlamim, however, is saying that it's treated the same as Ksamim. But we could entertain a possibility even more extreme. We could say that maybe the requirement of Re'iya B'Lai Hargusha, or maybe the din of, pardon me, of Hargusha is a din that you have to know that the dam came from the Makar. And if you know the dam came from a Makar, maybe you're going to be Tameya Min HaTorah, even though there's no Hargusha. We could say this possibility, and that would solve our question about how can we have Nida Min HaTorah today. Right? The Shach is not assuming that way. The Shach is saying it's the Rabbanon, right? And then there are two Hezbeirim within the Shach. But perhaps we could argue that it's a Din Do'iraisa. The person who made this argument that's a Din Do'iraisa potentially is the Shoel in the Tshuvos of Maharam Lublin in Simon Beis. The Maharam of Lublin was the Rosh Hashiva in Lublin. He wrote the notes on the bottom of the Maharsha. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Lublin. Everyone talks about the evil, pilpilistic style. The Maharam of Lublin lived his life arguing against the evil, pilpilistic style that was common in Polish yeshivas before his tikkufa, no? Whatever. No one knows what pilpil is. Everyone just makes fun of it. But, okay, zozain. Right? Basically, pilpil is that any type of lumbus I don't like. I think that's the way people use the term. The Maharam of Lublin, the Shoyal in the Maharam of Lublin says, you know what? Maybe Hargasha is only a simin, not a siva. And the Maharam of Lublin jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels and says, what are you talking about? Hargasha is only a simin, not a siva. If that's the case, so then in the Gemara, Nun Zayin Amud Beis, right, when the Gemara talks about Ishashi Oisa Tzracheha, and the Gemara says, well, Olam da Argasha, Emar Hargashas Meiraglayim, by the Hargasha of a Bedikah, La Olam da Argasha, Emar Hargashas Eid, by the Hargasha of Tashmish Hamita, La Olam da Argasha, Emar Hargasha Shamish. The Gemara in all the cases says she actually had a Hargasha. Zok the Maharam of Lublin, if the Shoyal would be correct, that you can be Temeya Min HaTaira with, you can be Temeya Min HaTaira if you know that Dam came Min HaMokar, even though you don't feel anything, but you can be Temeya Min HaTaira. So if that's the case, the Gemara could have said, Lo'aylam, Dilo Argasha. In all those cases, maybe she didn't have a full-fledged Hargasha, but she's still going to be Temeya because I know the Dam came in Hamokar. The Gemara never entertains this. And therefore, says the Maharam of Lublin, this indicates that what we call Re'iya B'loi Hargasha is not going to be Temeya min HaTaira. That's the Maharam of Lublin's approach. Yes, sir.
Is there possibly
again, that certainly is a possibility, but I don't think we're talking about an irritation. I don't think we're talking about like a scratch. We're just talking about a sensation without a scratch. If there be a scratch, so then la halacha, we might be able, if you could find that maka, we could attribute the dam to it. That's something, that's one of the big rabbinic tricks out there, that you can send women to the bodeket, and the bodeket could look at the woman and say, oh, there's a maka, and we could be mekel. I don't think that's what the Gemara is referring to. Bekitzer hama'aseh, this question of re'iya b'lay hargosha is a huge question. I don't think any of you prepared the makoros on this, so let me just give a marim makom that we'll talk about next time we learn, and then we'll come back. Look in the Sidrei Tahara, Simen Kuf Tzadi, Os Tzadi Gimel, Dibur Hamaskel V'terem Achaleh. And keep on reading that Sidrei Tahara through the Dibur Hamaskel Lochein Nerelofin Estaiti. It's like 5-6 paragraphs of Sidrei Tahara. He quotes the Maharam of Lublin, Bilashono, and he disagrees with Maharam of Lublin, and let's talk about that. And then, right, and then also look in the Rashba, in the Toras Habayis, in Shar Zayin, Perek Gimel, right at the beginning. And then look in the Toras Habayis in Shar Zayin, Perek Dalet, right at the beginning. And compare the Bayis HaOruch to the Bayis HaKotzer. And if you're ambitious, you could look at the footnotes in this new Rashba, which like changes the whole world. Maybe we'll talk about that next time, Emir Tahashem. But for now, let's go to Rabbi Willig's approach, which I think will connect to this somewhat. No, let's again. We have a question: how do you have Nidam in HaTorah? So if you hold the Zivas Dabar Lach, you have Nidam in HaTorah. Maybe don't have the Zivas Dabar Lach. If you hold a great Maram Shik, maybe you have Hargasha. Or if HaShulchan develops some sort of Hargasha. Comes along Rav Mordechai Willig. And Rabbi Willig times that the Rashba on the Nun Zayin on the base tells me that there's a new taich in Hargasha. And the word Hargasha means Derech Re'iyasa. If a woman sees Dam normally, does haste Hargasha. That's what Rabbi Willig argues in this article on the Beis Yitzchok Lamed Tes and his Tshuva Sefer, right, that Derech Re'iyasa is Hargasha. Rabbi Willig's proof is that the Rashba asked on the Perish that we know as the Chidushei Haran, that the Ran was saying that Tarati Shmami knows of the Dam, the Lo B'Shafir, the Lo B'Chaticha. is the same drasha as Dan Balol Hargasha, as that you need Hargasha. It's the same Svara, it's the same exact idea. You don't feel the dam. The Rashba asks, but 1 second. But don't I know from Daf Chaf Aleph that's the normal way to see you're going to be Tameya? And therefore, the normal way that you see is going to be Tameya, so would the dam in the Shafir be normal? So you should be Tameya min HaTaira. Says Rabbi Will, like this shows us that the Rashba is assuming that you are Tameya min HaTaira if it's Derech Re'iyasa. Meaning, explains Rabbi Will, like that Derech Re'iyasa equals Hargasha. That, I think, is what Rabbi Willig is saying. I know. That's what Rabbi Willig says. Rabbi Willig is saying that Derech Re'iyasa equals Hargasha. Now, what emerges from this is L'cha'ora, Chumras, and Kulas. Whatever is the normal way that a woman sees Dan, that is Nida min HaTorah. Now, many, many women, I don't know, probably at this point more than half of the women of childbearing age on this planet are on some form of birth control. The most common form of birth control involves taking pills, hormonal birth control. Hormonal birth control, the way it basically works is it thins out your uterine lining and it does not allow any implantation even if there is an egg that will become fertilized. The lining is too thin, nothing will implant. Now, because the lining is thinner, this is, by the way, a complete oversimplification, but because the lining is thinner, your period will also be less in volume than the period that you would get before you're on birth control. Right? That's the mitzias of life. Is that a normal period? Is this derech re'iyasa? So, Rabbi Willig says, yeah, of course it's derech re'iyasa. No? Of course it's derech re'iyasa, because lamaisa, millions of women are doing this, so it's derech re'iyasa. And then Rabbi Willig goes a step further. Even if a woman is but a woman is on the Mirena IUD, an IUD is an interuterine device. Basically, what they do is inside your uterus, they have some hormone called Mirena that's inside your uterus. And what that does is, again, the uterus is thinner, etc. It does the same hormonal thing, but unlike pills that you have to remember to take every day, the Mirena you don't have to remember to take. And we all know that human error is the biggest cause of all failures in the world. So, you won't have human error because it's going to be there. Gevaldik, amazing, Mirena is great. The thing about Mirena is that women don't get any sort of normal period at all. Instead, very often, they have what's called a tipacha chi. The tipacha chi is, once a month, they have a tiny drop of blood that comes out. Zot Rabbi Willig, Temeya min HaTorah. That is Derech Re'iyasa, he says. Whatever is the normal way of seeing them is Derech Re'iyasa, and you are Temeya. That's Rabbi Willig's argument. Now, by the way, whenever you have women on birth control, right, inevitably, everyone tries to outsmart the system, and they try to double up months on the birth control, no? Isn't this Maisim B'chol Yom? Married guys, no? Okay, whatever. Maybe not, right? Trust me. Everyone does this. You try to double up. And as your body gets more and more used to it, so it becomes less effective, like almost any medicine that you take. You have to increase the dosage, right, over time because your body gets more used to it. So the thing about the birth control is that when you try to double up and take 2 months, usually birth control pills come in 3 weeks of active pills, and then there's the 1 week of placebo pills, which is basically like taking sugar, and you'll get your period because you're not taking the active pill anymore. That's the way it usually works. Well, if you double up, oftentimes you end up having some sort of spotting. No? Is that Derech Re'iyasa or not Derech Re'iyasa? Not so pashut. These are, by the way, for me, the hardest shaila are these types of questions, whether it's a flow or a stain. Rabbi Willig's assumption, which most Rebbeim around here use to some extent, Rabbi Willig's assumption is that you're nida min HaTorah if it's Derech Re'iyasa, which means if you have a flow, you're Temeya min HaTorah. If it's a stain, if it's a small amount of blood, right? So then you're not Temeya min HaTorah. Okay, well, what's a large amount of blood? What's a small amount of blood? I ain't got the foggiest idea. Right? A lot? A little? Right? I remember one time Dr. Chudnov, we'll have to meet Dr. Chudnov soon, right? One time Dr. Chudnov came and we asked him, how much blood does the average woman see during her period? Very hard to know. No one is sitting there like with cups measuring how much blood comes out. Very hard to know. What's Derech Riyasa based on volume? Hard to know. These are very difficult shaylos. So I have Rabbi Willing Shita, that if it's Derech Riyasa, you're Tameya Min HaTayra. Now, Rabbi Willing Shita is interesting because part of Rabbi Willing Shita is that he tries to say that this is the pshat in a tshuva of Rabbi Yashiv in that Chelak Aleph Simen Pei Dalet. You see, everyone asks a question that the Rambam tells us in Parak Dalet of Yisurei Bia that Tinokas Bas Yom Echad could be Metama Benita. A tiny baby is going to be Tameya Benita. So how much blood is going to come out from a tiny baby? And the stomach, there's no hargasha. What is it? There's no hargasha. She doesn't feel anything, right? Babies? Well, what do they feel? There's probably no hargasha. So how you tamei min ha'tayra? Hard to know. So Rabbi Yashiv says a vart that maybe it's not that hargasha is necessary to cause tumas nida, but lack of hargasha is a pircha on your status as a nida. Right? In other words, if all women get hargasha and you don't have a hargasha, whoa, there's something wrong. Maybe you're not tameya. But a tinaikas bas yom echad, the fact that she doesn't have a hargasha, that doesn't prove anything is wrong. That's normal. If it's normal, you're tameya. Right? One of Rabbi Willig's ikar raya to this yisod, right, besides his Rashban Nun Zayin, that Rabbi Willig assumes means Derech Riyasa causes Nida min HaTorah, but he also proves this from that Shuvan Rebbe Yashiv. Rebbe Yashiv says that a baby, how's a baby Tameya? Right? I there's no Hargasha. The Teretz is that she's Tameya because lack of a Hargasha for a baby is not a Kasha. And that's his word. Not having Hargasha, if you're a baby, not a problem whatsoever. And therefore you're Tameya. Therefore says Rabbi Willig, oh, so normal re'iyah for babies is whatever it is, and you're Tameya, and we judge each group based on who you are, and the tipacha, she is Tameya min ha'tayra, ad kan divrei Rabbi Willig. Okay? Not bad. Not bad. Now, the problems that we have with Rabbi Willig Shita are as follows. First of all, if you are assuming that derech re'iyasa makes you anida min ha'tayra, so then why don't you just say zivas davar lach is the equivalent of hargasha? Because that's also l'cha'ora's derech re'iyasa. That's one question. Question two is hazoi. There's a famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes tells us that, you remember in Inspector Gadget, that this note will spontaneously destruct, right? Okay, a few people remember this. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Tes sounds like the earth will spontaneously destruct around the year 6000. No? This world is going to be 6000 years old. 2000 years of Torah, 2000 years of Tohu, 2000 years of Torah, and 2000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. And the Gemara explains that the 2000 years of Torah doesn't really mean from the year 2000 to the year 4000. It means from the birth of the patriarch Abraham, from the Lida of Avraham Avinu, which we all know was in the year 1948, the biggest riot to Zionism. Right? So from the birth of Avraham Avinu in 1948 for 2,000 years after, that's 2,000 years of Torah. Until Avraham Avinu, the word was Tohu. Then there's Torah from Avraham Avinu, and then afterwards is the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, Ad Kan Divrei HaGemara. The Maharsha is bothered by Akasha. The Maharsha says, one second, you're telling me that the last 2,000 years are the years of Yemais HaMashiach, that means it's not the years of Torah. Hey, what's going on? No one learns Torah today. There's probably more Bachur in Yeshiva today than at any point in Jewish history. There's no Torah. So the Maharsha answers that it's cumulative. That when we speak about 2,000 years of Yemais HaMashiach, that means it's Yemais HaMashiach plus Torah. Now that's a little difficult, Because that means what? Siman Samashia plus Torah plus Tohu. Right? I thought Tohu was totally gone. Right? So it's a difficult Maharsha, but Azoy Shteita Maharsha. The Chazon Ish and Igros Chazon Ish writes that in his opinion, the 2,000 years of Torah means that all the halachos in Judaism were nikba based on the mitzvahs between the year 1948 and 3948. And any halacha or any change in mitzvahs after the year 3948 don't change halacha. As we state in Chazon Ish in the letter. Now that is earth shaking. You know, what that would mean, I remember the first year I was learning in the Rav Schechter's Kollel, and we were learning Shabbos, and Rav Schechter pointed out that going to this Chazon Ish, there's no way to assume that fish oil in the microwave is d'oraisa. In the year 3948, there ain't no microwaves. Right? Okay, that's an easy one. The Chazon Ish would assume also that the year 3948 is Koveya, the dinim based on Mitzvahs. In 3948, was there Hargasha? Probably. Okay. If there was Hargasha in 3948, so then I'm going to say that that is the Derech Re'iyah. Right? If Hargasha equals Derech Re'iyah, so I shouldn't judge, based on this Chazon Ish, I don't judge Derech Re'iyah based on what Derech Re'iyah is in the year 5777 going on 5778. But I look at what Derech Re'iyah is in the year 3948. No? And therefore, right, the Chazon Ish's Taina would be against what Rabbi Willig is saying. Moreover, Rabbi Willig is quoting the Rebbe Yashiv that to say that Derech Re'iyah equals Hargasha, but Rabbi Yashiv himself don't say that. Because the Mishmeres HaTorah says he spoke to Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Yashiv says, we don't have Hargasha today, and therefore we'll have to fall back on Zivus Devarlach, or PMS. Right? Well, if Rabbi Willig is correct, so you don't got to do that. So this creates certain problems. Moreover, if you read the Rashba carefully, I don't think the Rashba is necessarily saying that if it's Derech Re'iyasar, you're going to be Tameya, because that equals Hargasha. I would argue that a better read of the Rashba is going back to the previous conversation. That if it's Derech Re'iyasa, you're Tameya, because there are two maslulim. There are two tracks as to how a woman can become Tameya. With Hargasha, or with Re'iyah below Hargasha. And what the Rashba is saying is that, oh, if it's a normal way to see Dam, you're Tameya, you know why I'm Tameya? Because of the din of Re'iyah below Hargasha. Not that Derech Re'iyasa equals Hargasha, but based on this other maslum, the other track, that you are Tameya with Re'iyah without Hargasha. And this other maslum, we know already from the Maharam of Lublin, and we know already that the Maharam of, from the Shoyal Maharam of Lublin, we know that the Maharam of Lublin rejects it, and we know that the halacha, we assume that Re'iyah b'lay Hargasha is not going to be Tameya min HaTayra, that we paskin that Hargasha is a Siba, not a Simin l'cha'ora. So, if I could read the Rashba, that the Rashba is really saying that Hargasha is a Simin, and Re'iyah b'lay Hargasha is Tameya, so then effectively I'd be rejecting this Rashba l'halacha. And that's why I need the Torah's Habayis. Because the same Rashba of the Kedushim is the Rashba of the Torah's Habayis. And look in those Makoros in the Torah's Habayis, Shar Zayin Perek Gimel, Shar Zayin Perek Dalet, right at the beginning of both of them, and then compare it to the Rashba and the Chidushim, and then we can talk about Re'iyah below Hargasha. And if that's the Pshat in the Rashba, and I reject Re'iyah below Hargasha la Halacha, so then this Mahalach of Rabbi Willig, I think, is going to be problematic. Now, in Canaan had the Devarim, of course, we're really stuck. Because how are you going to be Tameya min HaTorah? So, I don't know the answer. And quite honestly, I don't know if you are Tameyam in HaTorah. Maybe you're only Tameyam in Derabbanan. And even though it's Derabbanan, maybe it's the type of Derabbanan that doesn't have the kulos of Ksamim, and that's the other approach that we could take. In other words, if you hold that Re'iya B'loi Hargasha, right, is Tameya, like the Placey, like the Parasyonasam, without the kulos of Ksamim, then I think we have a Mahalach. We're not saying you're Tameya Min HaTayra, we're saying you're only Tameya Min Derabbanan. Another issue with Rabbi Willig's approach, which is really interesting, is that according to Rabbi Willig, if a woman finds dam on the bedikah cloth, is she Tameya Min HaTayra? No. No. Because Rabbi Willig holds that you're only Tameya Min HaTayra when you have a lot of blood, a serious re'iyah. And blood on the bedikah cloth, it's a little bit. It's not a lot of blood. You're not Tameya Min HaTayra, according to Rabbi Willig, with blood on the bedikah cloth. He says it. Read that mimer again. He says it. Now, Rabbi Willig is also assuming that we are mad the Derek Re'iyos are just based on volume. The approach of most Rebbeim in Yeshiva, and I'll say this for one more minute, we'll have to talk about this again, is that we don't judge based on volume entirely. What we judge is based on the trajectory. The standard period begins with a lighter flow, and then it builds up, and then it dies down. Right? It has the bell curve, no? If that's, maybe not exactly with the same distributions, but it has the bell curve. Now, if that's the case, that the standard Re'iya builds up and then dies down, so one could argue that I don't judge based on the volume of blood itself, but I have to take a longer view of things, and maybe, right, only if it's building up is it going to be a problem. That's the way Rabbi Neuberger and Rabbi Sabalovsky say it, but they have slightly different nuskaos, but Lina, the next time we learn, we'll talk about this, okay? So for next time, you have to do the Makoros on Re'iyah B'lo Hargasha for Sunday. Do these Rashbos, right? Do the Rashbos, and then we'll try to conclude with the Sugya of Hargasha once and for all.